you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Children are a gift from the Lord. And in today's world, they're also a tax deduction. Who gets to take that deduction in different situations? That's our topic today on Mark and Friends for Thursday, February 9th, 2023. Our guest to help us navigate the tax minefields is Juanita Morris, CPA and financial planner. Welcome back to Mark and Friends, Juanita.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks so much for fitting us in between all your clients today. You just met with someone and you've got someone coming up. So grateful you had time for us. This is a busy tax preparation season, isn't it?
Yes. This is the time when everybody's gotten their documents and they want to come rushing in order to, especially those with refunds. Mm. They want to come in and get those refunds fast.
How many of these will you be putting together this season?
Oh, it'll be a few hundred.
Hundred.
Yeah.
Amazing. You'll sit down with, you know, over 200 people perhaps and talk to them about their situation. And you dig deep, don't you? You just don't sit there and go, okay, give me all the forms, bye.
Right. Because I have found that even just with talking with people, just regular conversation, they tell me things that I go, oh, well, we can maybe use this. Mm. So whereas if they just drop it off and, you know, I don't get that information.
Yeah, that's great. Today, Juanita, we want to focus in on children and who gets that child credit that's going to help with their taxes. Now, I know our audience might be composed mostly of grandparents, but this could be a very helpful program that you might want to make sure one of your younger children or someone you know at church hears if you think they might benefit from it when it comes to child credits and taxes and just all things when it comes to the IRS and kids. Why is it, Juanita, for some this could be a contentious issue?
Bottom line, it's a lot of dollars at stake. It can be thousands of dollars that the person can gain because the government has tried to gear certain credits and deductions to help the low and the middle income families.
So they are trying to help the low and the middle income families. That's amazing to hear. And so now they're giving extra tax credits.
Yes. And there are several. You have your child tax credit, which you mentioned. There is the earned income credit. We have dependent care credit, college credits, and also it determines your filing status, whether you're head of household or single.
So let's start with the child tax credit. What are the rules there?
Okay, with the child tax credit, it's such that it depends on if you can take the child as your dependent, claim them as an exemption. That credit can give you for under 17-year-olds, so 0 to through 16, up to $2,000 per child. And then you're looking at if they're over 17, they drop down to 500, but still a credit.
Do you have to be the primary caregiver?
In that case, you do not. That is the only credit where you do not have to be the custodian, so to speak. And so that can be determined by court or agreement or that type of thing.
So what if it's a 50-50 shared? Do each party get to take that $2,000 deduction?
No. In all cases, in most cases, only one person can claim that child in order to get that credit. And it is the custodial parent. It's defined by the IRS, the Internal Revenue Code, as far as who's custodial. That's the confusion that comes into play. The courts can say custodial and you're 50-50, but the IRS says it's where the child resided the majority of the year. And so, you know, we have 3 years out of every four where there's 365 days. There's no way you can do 50-50. And in this case, tax law supersedes your court decision.
Let's talk about earned income credit. Now, how does that factor in when it comes to taking a child as a dependent on your taxes?
Okay, earned income credit is kind of as it implies. You have to have worked in order to have earnings. And so based on the amount of income, it increases the amount that you get. It is determined by the number of children, up to three or more. So you build up to a certain point, around 20,000 or so, and then it starts to decline again. It is geared more for low income and low middle income in order to give them additional monies. And it's what they call refundable, meaning that if, say, you come to zero income tax because of all your deduction and everything, you still get an additional amount. And if you have three or more children, that can go up to $4,000 or $5,000.
So that's something to really look forward to.
Yeah, that is their biggest refundable credit.
Okay, let's talk about the child care credit.
The child care credit is for your daycare. That's you paying for daycare, after school care, if you have summer camp where you send them. That's, in other words, a credit based on you need this child care in order to work. And so therefore, they're going to give you a deduction.
Got it. Is it a very big deduction?
They cap it at $3,000 for up to two children. So it could be $6,000. And then depending on your income, you can range from 20% to 34% of the cost.
Many parents have helped their children with college, and there's also a tax benefit to that as well, right?
College credit, especially for your undergrad student, especially with the American Opportunity Credit, and that can get you up to $2,500 in credits. That is such that goes with where the child is able to be taken. In this case, even a non-custodial parent, if that child is an exemption on their return, that credit goes where the child is, even if that parent did not actually pay. I get that question. Well, you know, I get people upset. Well, I paid for the tuition. Why don't I get a credit? And the clearest way that I communicate to them is that I, as a stranger, I could pay for your child's tuition. But if that child is on your return, you get the credit.
That's something, isn't it?
Yes.
It kind of doesn't make sense, but that's okay. Because sometimes this tax stuff just doesn't make sense. Now, is there any difference in unmarried parent situations?
It is slightly. It's not as complicated if you have unmarried parents living in the same household. In that case, you can switch the children up any way you want to, as long as you're in agreement. That tends to be the least complicated. And you can plan your taxes accordingly that has the best impact. The issue comes when you have parents who are in separate households, and then it comes to who is custodial. The custodial parent in this situation is the only one who has the right to the earned income credit, which I said was the top refundable credit, the child care credit, and also the head of household filing. In other words, if they are single, unmarried, a child gets them a higher standard deduction if they're head of household. The non-custodial parent can only take the child tax credit and, as I mentioned, the education credits. That's where the confusion really comes in. People don't understand that, and they just figure, oh, the child's on my return, so I get to take all those credits and deductions.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Juanita Morris, CPA and financial planning expert, and she's helping take some of the confusion out of child tax credits, and who gets to claim the kids? Now, it gets even a little bit more complicated when it comes to these multi-generational households, Juanita. Walk us through that.
It does slightly because, again, we're seeing a lot of things. If you lose your job and you have to move in with mom and dad, and so you're there and you have a child yourself, or even say for whatever reason, you may not move in, but you send the child to the grandparents. So then it becomes, again, who gets to take that child? If all three of you are in the same household, grandparents make more than child, then the grandparents can take the grandchild and possibly even the child, but they have the right, because in other words, that child has been in the same household with both parent and grandparent and therefore can qualify both. If the child is making more than the grandparent, then the child has to take the child. Now, we get into situations, unfortunately, again, where you have the non-custodial parent still wanting to take the child, even though you're in that generational house, but they're outside of the house. They don't have any rights unless the custodial parent gives that right to the outside parent.
It's complicated.
Yes. Yeah, but I get that a lot because, again, more people are, because of circumstances, have to be in the same household.
When it comes to missing out on one of these credits, which credit would be the biggest contender for that?
Most people are aware of the various credits. The one thing that people tend to miss is the education credit. That's the one that tends to go by a lot of people. I find that the mistake in this case is more so in taking the credit when you didn't have the right to it.
So potentially having children, there's a lot of tax money at stake. And speak to the issue of maybe that temptation to kind of fudge the numbers and take credit when you shouldn't.
It is. It really is a temptation because I mean, I've seen refunds because of the children upwards to $9,000, $10,000. You have that car that needs to be fixed, or you know, appliances going out, and it's like, oh, I really need the money, but there are the consequences if it is found out. And usually, what happens in how it is discovered is agreements and relationships. You were on good terms, and so you had the agreement. Now the terms aren't so good. That agreement is broken, and you thought that you could take the child, and you couldn't. And both of you then or take the child, or it happens by accident. I found some people who forget which year is which. And so they'll literally both file, you know, at the same time, and then they get the IRS letter. That's mainly when it is discovered. And then it's a thing of, okay, prove it. Now, if it was an outright decision to go ahead and do it, IRS can penalize you 20% of the credit that you took. Plus, if it's the earned income credit, they can decide that you have no rights to that earned income credit for 10 years. Even if you have another child subsequently that you could have legitimately taken the earned income credit or for yourself, you don't have that right for 10 years. But then I look at the fact that, yes, it's a temptation, but God gives us a way out when we're tempted.
Yes.
And he also holds us to a higher standard. And so you have to look at that and say, you know, do I really want to take these extra credits?
That really is so true. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. God has something so much better than a measly tax return. He can supply abundantly beyond what we can imagine.
Most of the time with my clients, I tell them, I'm trying to audit proof you. So
there you go.
So for the most part, I've had them follow my directions. I did have one situation where it was such that a couple had used me 1 year and they legitimately had two separate households. In this case, because he was assigned to Florida, she's still here in Illinois, and actually one of the children was with him in Florida. So they could file the way they did, and as a result, had a bigger refund. Well, he was reassigned back to Illinois. They came in. They wanted to do the same thing as before, and I said, you can't. He's like, well, I can give my grandmother's address in Chicago.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I'm sorry. If that's it, I cannot do your return.
Good.
And so they at that point said, well, we really need the money. And so we're going to have to go to someone else. And so, yes, they did. And as you said, I don't think, not that IRS, you know, had any issue at that point. But as you said, I do think that they lost out on the blessing, the grace that they could have had.
I can see that over and over again in my life and other people's lives.
Yes.
When we reach out and we do something that we think will benefit us, but it's just wrong. It's like, wow, you're not going to get what God had for you. He's got something so much better.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Yeah, and I have. That's why you as you said, you're tempted, and then if you say, no, I'm going to go. I've been blessed. It's like seeing if you made the test. It's hard to explain to people in a way, I think.
It is.
It's almost like, just try it. Trust us. It does work.
It does. It is a test. It really is a test of the you trust God system.
Yes.
God has something so much better.
He does.
Great. I think you've covered the child credits really well. Are there any other credits out there that are new and that we can be aware of?
One of the new things is with the energy credits that are coming down. And this is a major change after years. In the past, it was that if you did improvements to your residence, and it had to be the structural things, your windows, your doors, heating, cooling, you had a $500 lifetime cap. And you can only take so much for windows, and then you couldn't take any more. Starting for 2023, it's no longer a lifetime cap. Depending on what it is, because it's a little complicated, you can get up to $1,000 or $2,000 per year for making improvements to your home that conserve energy.
That's delightful.
Yes. So keep those receipts. Because I have some people who do it, they go, oh, I didn't keep that receipt. And in some cases, it includes not just the purchase of, say, the furnace or whatever, but also the labor to put it in. Also, of course, they're promoting the e-cars, the electric cars. So they're giving you tax breaks with those, and as well as your solar energy. That was getting ready to, the solar was phasing out, and now they've expanded the time frame for that.
Okay, that's good news.
Yes.
So those are great energy saving.
Yes.
Okay, any other kind of tips and tricks that they're putting in there without us knowing about that we can be aware of?
The minimum distribution that you had to take on your traditional IRAs and your 401k retirement, it used to be a couple years ago, 70 and a half, and you had to start taking some money out. Then right before 2020, they expanded that to 72. Now they just passed something in the fall. They're going to start phasing that so that it goes to 73 and for 2023, and will eventually go to 75 years old before you have to start taking that out. I have a lot of people who say, I don't need it right now. Why do I have to take it out? Because if you don't take it out when you're required, it's a penalty for not taking it out.
Okay. So this is good news for those who
yes.
don't want to have to suffer that penalty.
Yes.
Trying to give to Caesar what is Caesar's can be a little complicated, but we definitely want to keep what is ours, and we want to give to God what is God's. Juanita, thank you so much. Our time now is running out, and we will for sure have you back on, I think, to talk all things retirement, because I think there's a lot of information out there that perhaps we are not aware of, and we're losing out on perhaps some of the better credits and ways that we can keep a little bit more and have that available for ourselves and for the kingdom.
Yes.
All right.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, and I hope people are helped, encouraged, and stay faithful.
You've been listening to Mark and Friends with CPA and financial planner Juanita Morris, helping us navigate the tax landscape. All of the Mark and Friends programs are archived at greatnewsmedia.org and wluj.org and can be listened to on demand as your schedule permits. Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, Pastor Jason Shiffo is back with more of his Bible teaching as presented in the Great News Media Studios. You're always invited to be a part of the study each Wednesday as listeners gather and Pastor Jason presents. It's recorded for the Mark and Friends broadcast on Friday. The teaching begins at 12 noon at the Great News Media headquarters in Champaign at the Marketplace Mall. Mark and Friends is heard at 7:32 a.m. and 7:32 p.m. on the WLUJ family of stations and 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Thank you for making Christian radio a priority in your day.